Okay, this is Monday, December 8th, and the topic this month is, can you bring yourself to see?
Good evening. Before we go on, I want to go through these two papers, but I also want to remind people, that this is the season, and this is the Advent season. And we must take advantage of these seasons that come around, because I absolutely believe that during the Advent season, angels are closer to the earth than ever before during the rest of the year. That's how we get that idea that angels bending near the earth, and they bend near the earth during the Advent season. So remember, this is the Advent season. All right. Last week I spoke to you about Albert Einstein, and this is from a book called The Hidden Face of God. And the important thing here, I told you last week that Einstein had a theory, and it didn't set. And he bowed to public things. So let's go over that one first. That's the bigger one. As great a mind as Einstein's bowed to convention when his cosmological equation of the universe showed that the universe might be in a state of violent expansion, that the galaxies might be flying out from some moment of creation. Rather than publish this astonishing prediction, he changed his data to match the popular, though erroneous, idea that our universe was static. In doing so, he missed the opportunity to predict the most important discovery science can ever make relative to the essence of our existence. Our universe had a beginning. There was a time before which there was neither time nor space nor matter. Why is this so important? Because even Einstein, what I want you to get from this little thing is, we all are puppets of our conditioning, and we all suffer from peer pressure. And that was his peer pressure. So he changed his theory, which now we know was correct. He published it. He changed the data so that it would fit in with what the rest of the scientists were saying. Why is this so important? Because this happens throughout this world. We're always bowing to something. We're always changing something to match somebody's opinion, to match what their idea is. You cannot do that to yourself. You must rock the boat. You must be the one that says, I don't believe that. This is what I believe. If you just go along with all the stuff that you read and so forth, without questioning it, that is not a good thing for your mind. This teaching is to teach you how to think, not what to think. How to think. So even Einstein had the pressure of his peers and the society. So he bowed to that and changed his data to match. We find that all the time. When you were in school and so forth, there was that much stuff going on. And we read all those books and so forth, and we thought they were all correct. I'm talking history books here. All history books are written by men. Do you know that? It's a man's opinion, people, you see. So you have to, who's writing the book? And don't take everything that you read for granted. That is not what this thing called God wants. God wants you to question. God wants you to ask questions, you see. Many churches do not like that if you ask questions and so forth. They want you to swallow everything, all the twaddle. They want you to swallow every bit of that. This is not that type of teaching, people. And I hope you realize that. And don't become that type of person who does that. So that's why I brought this in to make sure that you knew when I told you last week about Einstein and so forth, so that you know that it really is true. I don't sit up here and tell things, falsehoods of any type. I check most of my stuff out before I talk about it, so that I am telling the truth, but I'm also always telling the truth the way I see it. You see? I'm telling the truth the way I see it. But you must take that and see, does it make sense to you? If it does, use it. If it doesn't, get rid of it, for goodness sakes, okay? Now, this next little thing I thought was absolutely fabulous, because if I would have heard this when I was in high school or college, I think I would have been much more interested in learning more. And this is about your DNA. The DNA helix is some 25 billionths of a meter thick, but reaches a tenth of a meter, about 3 inches in length, when unwound. If we were to unwind all the DNA of a cell and line it up, now this, we're talking one cell here, people, cell, and line it up, one cell's worth would reach about the height of an adult. But now here's the best one, I think. Put all the DNA in your body end to end, and you get a thread that reaches to the sun and back about 100 times. Does anyone know how far away the sun is?
24,000.
No, 93 billion miles. Right, 93 billion miles. This is not some abstract fact. It is the wonder of you. To think that DNA in our body, if we stretch it out, we could go to the sun and back with it. Isn't it? I think that's fabulous. I love little things. I love little things like this. So, think of these different things. When I find something like this, I try to remember it. And it thrills me, because life is such a mystery, people. And we ourselves in these bodies are such a mystery. No one knows exactly what's going on inside of us. We have examples of it. We have doctors and we have all kinds of scientists telling us this is going on and that's going on. But you know, no scientist in the world can explain the idea that you eat a carrot and you get a fingernail.
I thought the present movement was to throw DNA out the window, and it's just not that.
Well, we're not throwing DNA out the window. What we're throwing out is the theory of genes. It's going out the window.
Yes, yes.
If DNA is, we have DNA, and we do have genes, but there's a whole new science out there called epigenetics. In epigenetics, they have found that you can program your genes, that you can change things. So we heard when we were growing up that everything was about your genes and you were predisposed to all this, that, and the other stuff. You don't have to be. The same way, my father died of colon cancer. My father ate red meat and drank a great deal and ate all kinds of spicy foods, and his colon went. Now, my colon is in perfect condition, and I am plan on keeping it there. Now, how did I do that? I don't eat red meat, number one, and I don't eat spicy foods, and I watch what I'm doing, because I realize that my body, and especially the intestinal tract, most people think that the colon and the intestinal tract is nothing but a garbage disposal. That's absolutely not true, people. It's doing a great deal of work for you. So, look at it differently. Now, in the land of Nod, where my brother lives, he eats meat and everything like my father did. And why? Because he says, I'm going to die of colon cancer, just like Dad. Mm. Now, that's how you get predisposed to something that has nothing to do with genes whatsoever, people. It has to do with your mind, with your attitude. I told you the story about Aunt Catherine, who was 90-some years old, and went to the doctor. And the doctor said to her, well, when did you last see a doctor? She said, oh, maybe 60 years ago. And he said to her, well, maybe that's why you're in such good condition and that you're living so long. And she looked at him and said, don't you think attitude has something to do with it? Your attitude has everything to do with everything, people. It's your attitude. Don't believe all that stuff that people are telling you. Don't believe what the doctors. They're wonderful people. I'm not putting doctors down. But they only have so much knowledge. And they tell you that, and you think, oh, well, they went to medical school, so they must know. They don't know. It's changing daily, people. And they can't keep up with all that. And that's what you have to know, that we're going to learn more and more and more about how wonderful this world is, how about how wonderful we are. We are wonderful, wonderful, mysterious things here. So we have to know that about ourselves. We have to know. I don't have to believe all that. Now, that's that collective consciousness again. That's that being a puppet of your conditioning. That's what Einstein fell into, that trap. Don't fall into that trap. Don't fall into that trap. I've told you before, the world is very convincing. So is your own mind. Don't listen to the world, and don't listen to your mind. Learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. See, that's how that's done. Okay? Any questions about Einstein or DNA or any of that? Yes?
How do you change your genes in the epigenetics?
With your mind. And you make up your mind and you tell your body and your DNA to change. And it will change for you. Now, it's not going to do it overnight unless you're very powerful. But if you practice it, it will start to change. You're living in a belief system that we learned how many years ago? Well, 70-some years ago for me, that genes were everything. That's all they talked about, genes, genes. Oh, when they discovered, that was in 1954 or 7, one of those years, they won the Nobel Peace Prize for discovering the helix and all that, you know, the DNA thing. And everyone thought, oh boy, now we have the secret to life. Now we really know what life's all about. We don't know. We're not any further ahead than we ever were. We're not any further ahead than we ever were. The same way, and I think I've told you this before, and I think this is absolutely thrills me when I think about it. There is not one scientist, one doctor on this planet that can tell you why a heart in a fetus starts to beat. There's no rhyme or reason for that heart to start to beat. It just starts to beat. I call it the hand of God or the finger of God touching. Just mind. Mind. That's what I think. That's why I think it's so thrilling.
It's a miracle.
See. Pardon?
It's a miracle.
Well, it is a miracle. It absolutely is a miracle. So you have to look at those things, you see, and realize there's always more out there than meets the eye. There's always more to learn, and there's always more to believe. And it's doing that with the belief system. So believe in you that you're doing that, and it will happen for you. You know. But they're doing more and more research on all that. How many people remember there was a doctor, his name was Bruce Lipton, Dr. Bruce Lipton. He taught at a medical school here in the United States and then finally had to go to some island and teach, Granada. He went to, but he discovered, and they didn't want to hear it, because we were taught in school, and they're still teaching that, of course, that the nucleus is the brain of the cell. The nucleus is not the brain of the cell. He discovered that it's the membrane around the cell where all the brain, you know, it's the membrane deciding. Because you can take the nucleus out of a cell and it keeps on living. And if it was a brain, it wouldn't be able to live. So we have to look at these new things. And you can see Bruce Lipton wrote a book called I Think the Biology of Life was the title of his book. So we just have to keep learning. Now most people, I'm sure, do still think that the nucleus is the brain of the cell. So we're loaded people. The whole idea in life, you know, is to get rid of misinformation. We're loaded with misinformation, and we must learn to get over that. You know what we do? We think, oh, I don't have to think anymore. Now I know that the nucleus is the brain of the cell. That's a given. So now let's not even think about that anymore. Let's just take that for granted. We can't do that, you see. You have to keep an open mind. Once, and I've said this many times, once you come to a conclusion, you can no longer think. Because the conclusion's there. You must never come to a conclusion about anything. And what's the main thing you must never come to a conclusion about? Who you are. You see, we come to conclusions. This is the way I am. This is this. That's a conclusion. You're growing constantly. You're evolving constantly. So do that. Evolve with all this stuff. You see? So here again, excuse me, bring yourself to see these new things. Bring yourself to at least open your mind to new information, to something bigger that's going on out there. If you don't, you're going to get stuck believing what the world is telling you, believing what doctors are telling you. And here again, I'm not against any of these things. These institutions are formed, but they're nothing but mindsets, you know. They're nothing but mindsets. You can change them anytime you want. We just don't do that because we have other things to do. So we come to a conclusion that the world knows what it's telling us and that we're getting the right information. Very rarely are we getting the right information about anything. Very rarely. The only thing you can be sure of in this world and in this universe is this thing called God. And the other thing, God is synonymous with love. And this is the season of love and opening yourself and your heart to what's coming, you see? This is the season when you're able to birth the Christ consciousness in you. The Christ consciousness in you. You don't have to be a Christian. When I say Christ consciousness, that just means a higher consciousness. That means a consciousness where there is no duality going on whatsoever. A consciousness where there are no opposites. Everything is there for you. So, this is a season, this Advent season, for you to say to yourself, this is the time. I have now arrived at the time where I can birth a Christ consciousness in me, a higher consciousness, a different consciousness, where I see things differently, where all things are working for the good of everyone, where there is no turmoil, there is no fighting, there is no confusion about anything. You see? This is what we're looking for in this world. This is what we want. So, can you bring yourself to see that? Can you bring yourself to see yourself? Can you say, I have on my table at home at the present moment, I do tablescapes, that's all I do. I don't decorate anything else. I have figures about that high of Mary and Joseph and the Christ child, a little baby. Now, I have little candles around, I light that every night. It looks like a Catholic church. And when I look at them, what do I see? I see that here is a masculine and a feminine part of me. And what is that masculine and feminine doing? It's birthing a Christ child. It's birthing a Christ child. That's what you want to see in these things. You say, you can see anything that you want, but in this season, see correctly. See what's going on. And don't get into the commercialism, and don't, please don't go out and buy a mattress. Because the mattress sales are back again. That's all they think. They must think that's all we need is a mattress and we'll be happy. No. See this season, this Advent season, for what it is. A wonderful time of year where you can open your heart, you can open your mind, and you can let love in. And you can also let love flow out from you. Let it flow out from you. So that you are a loving person. Which I would suggest, if you're going to be a loving person during this season, you stay away from the malls. Don't go shopping, because they'll be pushing and shoving and screaming and yelling, you know. Don't do that to yourself. This is a season of peace, a season of joy, and a season of love. So can you bring yourself to see those things? You see, we have to do that. We have to be able to see what we want to see. That's all this teaching is. That's all life is about. Doesn't have to be in this teaching, by the way. I just used that. It can be anything, but you have to be able to see that. And you have to see it. And you can do it in this season. This is a wonderful, wonderful season of the year. So, it doesn't snow here, so we don't get that, thank goodness. But we have everything else that we need. So, think of those things, why this season is coming up, instead of, oh, it's just another Christmas season, and oh, the tree goes up, and the tinsel goes on, and this, that, and the other thing. You see, it's much, much more than all that stuff. It's much, much more. And Christmas trees, I happen to love Christmas trees. And I also realize, you know, Christmas trees is a pagan. It's absolutely from the pagans. You know, the Christians took up that Christmas tree because they want to convert pagans. So they said, okay, we'll let you have the Christmas tree. You see? But they're beautiful, aren't they? And I hope you people realize I happen to love pagans. You know. I do. I think pagans, they have no they have no shame or guilt, pagans. Pagans don't have shame or guilt, they're just pagans.
Well, what is a pagan in your opinion? What is a pagan?
A pagan is somebody that never got into a structured Christian things, religion of any type. Mm-hmm. A person that's happy, is down to earth, we could say earthy, and sees all the different things out there as wonderful. As wonderful. You know? And we don't do that. We drew away from all that, you see. Years and years ago, we drew away from that. When when people started to leave the farm, they left what pagan they had in them, and they left nature. Mm. They left nature. Pagans are nature people, wonderful people, fun people, delightful. They don't have the qualms. And they don't have all the restrictions that this world has placed on us. You say, you must do it this way, you can't do it that way. They don't. I never had that. They just lived life in a joyful way, giving thanks all the time for what they had, for what this thing we call God has provided for everyone. They didn't worry about being provided for. They knew that they were provided for. So that's what I call pagan. So I'm all for pagans. I know people think, oh, because when you use the word pagan, people think, oh, well, they're not Christian. Mm-hmm. You know.
Celebrating the earth, the water, the moon.
Yes.
Sun.
Yeah. Celebrate all those elements that are out there, all the wonderful things that are out there. That's why I firmly believe that during this time of year, the consciousness of the world changes, people change, and this is when we have this energy. All, everything is energy. But we have an energy coming in onto this planet, and we'll call it angels. Angels are energy. And they're coming closer and closer to the earth right now because of this season. And why do they do that?
Because we're thinking about it.
Because we're doing the thinking. The same way with the rain. We cause the angels, we cause the rain, we cause everything. It's all done with the mind. So in this season, bring yourself to see the wonderful things and to believe them. And also to give up some of the silliness, you know. How many people here still believe in Santa Claus? We believe in the spirit of Santa Claus, and I think that's wonderful. You see. So, but you have to bring yourself to be able to see. That's a wonderful story. The same way the story of Christmas is a wonderful story. Now, I use the word story because it's a made-up story, people. It's completely made up. Beautiful. Beautiful story. But it's made up. You see? So see if you can bring yourself to see that. And you don't have to get disgusted and so forth. So many people, once you tell them that, they're, oh, I'm never going to... No, have fun with this season. Have fun with everything, you see. That's what we're here for, to have fun with this stuff. So, bring yourself to be able to see these things in this season. This is a wonderful season, and you can do it, and you can bring yourself to have this Christ consciousness reborn in you. The Christ consciousness is always inside of you, people. Everything that you want is inside of you. You don't have to go out and look for all that. But you have to bring it forward within your own self. You have to say, oh, I can do this. I can bring myself to see these things. You see? So, if you're waiting for the Christ consciousness to come down, like Pentecost, it's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. It's already there. So use the things in your life that are already there. You all can do this. And if there's things left over from your childhood and so forth that you want to do during this season, please feel free to do those things. That's what this whole thing is about. And most of it's tradition, you know. But it works. And that's what the nice thing is. Wouldn't it be awful not to have these holidays? You know, these holidays are wonderful. And we can learn something from these holidays. And we can learn something about ourselves during these holidays. So use this time of year. Use this time of year to see, aha! It's almost the end of 2014. What am I going to do? What am I going to make? in 2015. You're the one that's making your year. No one else is doing that. And you're doing that with your thinking. So say to yourself, this is the year. This is my year. This is the year that everything comes into my life. All the things that I have been doing and thinking and working for are now manifested in my life. There is no more waiting. No more waiting. You see, and we can say to ourselves, well, I have another year. I can do it in 2016. Do it now. Do it now. Why are we always waiting? We're waiting always, I think, my opinion is, because we think something has to be added to us and we have to learn one more thing. We have to learn one more thing. What is the only thing that you need to know?
Worthy, deserving.
Well, worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter, yes. The only thing you ever really have to learn is love. It's all about love. I keep living, and the more I live, the more I realize it's all love. And when you have an upset or something, it's because there's not enough love around. So you have to sit down and love again. It's always the answer to anything is going to be love. Love of yourself, love of the other person, love of this world, love of this universe, love of God. It's always going. If you have love and enough love, everything dissolves in front of you. Everything dissolves in front of you. Nothing can withstand the power of love, people. Nothing can withstand the power of love. And yet we think, oh, there is something out there bigger and better than love. There's nothing out there bigger than better than love. And that this is the time of year to let that sink into your consciousness. This is the time of year to bring yourself to see, oh, love is what makes the world go round. All along I thought it was money. You see? But it's love. It's love that's holding this whole universe together. So learn to do that. Learn to love yourself. Learn to be able to see your ego dwindling. Let your ego dwindle. You can do that. It dwindles. It's not powerful. We think that the ego is powerful. It is not powerful. So how do you think you get your ego to dwindle? You start to love yourself. You start to really love yourself. You start to listen to yourself. And when your mind tells you anything that is not the truth, you must stop it immediately and say, wait here, bucko, you're not getting away with that. And it will stop doing that to you. This is how we learn to control this thing, so that we see life the way it is supposed to be seen, through the eyes of love. Through the eyes of love. And we don't always do that because we see it through confusion. We see it through all this other static that's going on all the time. And you don't want that in your life. You don't need that in your life. So, bring yourself to be able to see what is going on in there. In your own mind. In your own mind. During this time of year, I think it would behoove us all to remember that the mind is the stable in which the Christ consciousness is born. Your mind is the stable. The Christ consciousness can be born in your mind. Even the all those animals that are around and all that other stuff that's going on inside your mind, the Christ consciousness can still be born. You see, everyone thinks they have to be pure. We hear that all the time, don't we? You must be pure of heart, you must be pure here, you must be pure there for anything. No, you don't have. That's nice. That's a wonderful idea. But what you need to realize is, I can do this even though I'm not pure at the present moment. But my mind is a stable. Has anyone been to a stable lately? You know, they have to be mucked out. They have to be all that. But yet, with all the stuff and the negativities and all the stuff that are going on inside of here, we can still birth a Christ consciousness during this season and keep it for the rest of the year. You see, that's what happens, isn't it? We drag the nativity scene out once a year, then we throw it back again. But once you have the Christ consciousness, it stays with you, and it grows, people. And you start to see things completely different, things that used to upset you, no longer upset you. Because you've surrounded it with a Christ consciousness. Christ consciousness only means love, people. Tons and tons of love. And when you put tons and tons of love into that, everything changes. So see if you can bring yourself to see all that in this season, this wonderful season that we call Advent. There'll be tons of stuff going on during the season. But you know what's going on inside of you. You can say, ha ha, I'm birthing something. I'm birthing something.
I had a moment this morning, really deep, right before I opened the door, I stopped and said thank you for this chance to create myself anew. And just kind of new slate, you know? So,
and every moment, people, is a new slate. Every moment, because you did something a moment ago that was ugly, mean, and hateful, it's not you. A new moment has started. Now, from this moment, going forward, I'm going forward. I'm hoping that, during this season, I will be able to give up swearing. We'll see if it works. Because not that I love swearing, but I do swear. And I'm quite good at it. You know? So I want to be able to give that up, simply because it's something I don't consider nice about a human being, you know. And I don't want to go around professing that I'm a metaphysical teacher when I'm out there, you know, swearing up a storm. That's not good. That's not good. So I'll use the Advent season to birth a Christ consciousness in me that will wipe out all the swearing. The habit will be gone. Why will the habit be gone? Because I will be able to rise up to a different consciousness. When I'm at a higher consciousness, the lower consciousness that swore is no longer there. You see? all to get rid of anything, what you do is rise up. Once you rise up, the other thing doesn't come with you. How many people know this from the Bible? Love brings up anything unlike itself and casts it out. You've heard that. Love casts out all things. Love always casts out all things. So when you love yourself, you're casting out all the other parts of you that aren't working for you, that you don't like about yourself. Know that they're being cast out.
But if you're not swearing at other people, why is it bad?
If I'm not swearing,
swearing at another person.
Well, I do swear at other people, too. When I swear, I go.
A lot of it, you know, typically you're damning God or
yes,
that kind of stuff. So it's,
well, as soon as you're using any of that kind
no,
of stuff,
there's only one word that damns God.
What is it?
You don't want me to say
no.
Well, I'm glad you're not perfect because it shows me there's hope for me.
I have never professed to be perfect. I am striving to move forward to be perfect, but I am not perfect. When I become perfect, I will ascend and you won't see me anymore. Yes, sir. So I'm anchored to this earth with my swear words. But they're leaving. I am growing. And this season I'm going to grow even better because I know that this Christ consciousness is being born in me. So when you see a nativity scene, when you see Joseph and Mary and the Christ child, think of those things. Here's the masculine, here's the feminine, and here's what they brought forth. This is what they brought forth, you see. Mary, Joseph and the Christ child, you know, is the Trinity. In all religions, there always is a Trinity. Always a Trinity everywhere.
There's a reason it's three
sixes in mind. Yes. It always comes, always with this Trinity. So when you look at those things, think of what else is going on here. There's more. There's something going on here. But it's all consciousness, people. And learn to use your consciousness correctly. Learn to use your mind correctly. And see all these things. When I take Rose home, we go by the most beautiful lights, don't we? Her neighborhood, they just carry on something fierce. Beautiful. I look at all this. I think that's wonderful. I don't know. Isn't that gaudy? Isn't this, that, or the other thing? Or, and I certainly will not allow my mind to say, I hope they can afford the electric bill. The same. You can't. Back. You have to get rid of that type of thing in your thinking. So just enjoy your life. Bring yourself to be able to see what you want to see. Not what the world is showing you. What do you want to see? Don't you want to see all the love in this world? Don't you want to be able to see all the love that's in here coming out and affecting other people so that we can live in a world of love? So that we can live in a world of love. And that's why every year we have this season to remind us that it is possible. It is absolutely possible. But we must work with it. We must start to believe those things, you see. And they will come to you. You see. Love and peace and joy are all around us. We have to know that. And rejoice in all those things. This is the time. This is the season. This is the season of change. You can change during this season. You can be a reborn. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah.